Hey everyone, this is episode 23 of Noodle Time. Welcome. Here with me is the gentleman that blew away the initial coaching interview with Ted Segall and Pat Onstad, Tony Rubio. Tony, say hello.
Hey guys, rumor on the street is I'm really good at PowerPoints, but Paolo Nakamura was just that much better. So unfortunately, I won't be getting the job this time around.
Yeah, and it's quite unfortunate, but thankfully we have a special guest coming into this episode. His name is Mike Kuhn from the Blue Testament over at SB Nation. He's here today to like chat a little bit more about Paolo Nakamura, the coach coming in to take over the Dynamo in the next couple of weeks. And it's going to be a long chat because he's going to help us understand a little bit more about what Paolo Nakamura is going to offer to the Dynamo, even though it's a pretty interesting choice compared to the other candidates that were rumored to come in. And yeah, he's going to be Mike.
Happy to be here, guys. I mean, the Nakamura signing or the reports of it kind of blew me away as well. So I'm pleased for him, but I'm intrigued to see how he's going to do. And I may dislike you guys just a little bit less now with Nakamura on your guys' sidelines.
Yeah, you can boo us now. I'm joking. but yeah.
No. Actually, Mike, I think I recognize you from when we beat you guys in the Western Conference playoffs a couple years ago, and I think you're one of the guys flicking everybody off in the background.
I don't think I was, but I mean, it was a second year in a row, so it's very possible that by 2012 I'd had enough of you guys. So, of course, 2013 was a lot better for me, but I mean, it was the one thing I will say is as annoying as you guys can be on the field, I love the fact that it is as somebody that has dealt with the friendliest rivalry in Minnesota, I like playing you guys because I know it's going to be an intense battle, and it's more of a, in my opinion, a true rivalry in the league against Houston compared to getting packed in with the team closest to us, basically.
Yeah, and it's an interesting rivalry because like it's one that if you ask like a lot of Dynamo fans in recent times, like not taking into consideration Austin FC because it's obviously like way brand new. Like I would say like the second like most like heated rivalry like other than FC Dallas is like Sporting KC because like all these years it's been like, oh, I hate some of these players like Graham Susi, I can stand him, like Team Milia or other fans.
Roger Espinosa.
And yeah, like it's although I was kind of upset because he doesn't have like an official name, you know, like I like to call like Portal Cup because like it shows like the colors of Portal, like the video game. And like I've also seen it like online unofficially, but it's one of those rivalries that I appreciate for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I like the Portal Cup idea. That's actually a really good one. I may start using that one.
We have to. Yeah. And yeah, and just to get into the episode, just to give like a little bit of background information about Paolo Nakamura, he's been in MLS for about like 11 seasons as a player, and his last stop in MLS was Sporting KC, and to an extent, he's like a big name player to them, like only because he retired there, but at the same time, he's been there for like a handful of seasons, and from there on, like he did manage Sporting KC2 over at USL Championship. He at first as an assistant for one season, but after that he got upgraded to head coach for the next four. And from there, like even though it's been like a pretty negative record, I've heard like a lot of good things about Paolo Nakamura as a person and also as a coach outside of the numbers. But it's and thankfully we have like Mike here to give us like a little more of a perspective of like a person that has watched his work on the field, and not only as a player but also as a coach, and yeah, we just have to see what he's going to offer for the Dynamo whenever he comes in over the next few weeks, and how he's going to help us like establish that talent pipeline that we have been pretty much like notoriously not good at like for a very long time, and or I would say like not good at, but inconsistent is what I like to say. But yeah, if you just want to give us like a little bit more information about Paolo that we should know, that'll be very awesome, honestly.
Sure. So Paolo came to Kansas City in 2012, basically. Spent his last 5 years as a player with Sporting. The big thing with him on the field is there was arguably nobody that was as passionate on the field as he was. I mean, as we talked about with regards to rivalry, this 2012 stretch with Nagamura and Espinoza in the midfield was the tenacity there would just drive teams crazy and get teams upset, basically, because Nagamura is the type of player that would get under your skin and just the same way Espinoza liked to. So the one thing that I don't think he'll lack for you guys at all is just passion and intensity, because when he was with SKC2, he was still just as passionate as he was on the field. He's a very, very passionate player, and from what I've seen of him, that didn't change when he transitioned over onto the coaching side of things. So that aspect should be something that's exciting for you guys. The other thing you had talked about, developing talent, I've thought he's done a very good job of bringing players along, getting either a player like Wilson Harris or Felipe Hernandez or
Cameron Duke. Names.
Yeah, Cameron Duke. All the young players that are starting to come into the first team, Kaveh Rod, as center back, is another one. They're just a good work at getting them developed, getting them game time, being able to contribute on the field, basically. The question with Nagamura that I'm sure a lot of Dynamo fans probably have is, how much of a role did Nagamura have in things, with it being an MLS championship team or MLS USL championship team and basically MLSB? How much of a hand did Nagamura have versus Peter Vermes having his hands in it, wanting to get his guys time, wanting to get development the way he wanted the players to play? And while I think a lot of Nagamura's pregame tactics were dictated in part by how Vermes wants the team to play. For those that don't know, Vermes likes to have top down every team within the club, and even our academy affiliate teams that we have, that he wants them all to be playing a similar style, so that once players get into the academy, once they get to the USL championship team, once they get to the MLS team, they're experienced playing the style that Vermes wants them to play. So from the top down, the style, the 4-3-3 that Vermes has played forever, is what he wants. But the in-game tactics, I liked what I saw out of Nagamura to try to adjust things on the field as the game wore on. Obviously, with talent and with just youth, you're going to have a lot of inexperience there. But I felt like Nagamura's, I'm not sure he's there yet, but I think he has the ability to get there as a professional coach.
Question, just out of my ignorance, was he completely dedicated to Sporting Kansas City too, or was he also an assistant coach, like on game days with the first team?
No, he was only SKC2 head coach. He was not on the, mm-hmm. on the first team bench on when there wasn't a conflict. He was straight SKC2 coach.
And as far as it goes with SKC2 and USL Championship, I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with the USL Championship, but was that really like a ragtag bunch of guys that literally were just green from the academy, not much veteran presence from from elsewhere in USL?
I mean, the first 2 years before Nagamura took over, first couple years Nagamura took over there, there was a lot more USL championship experience on the team at that time. But once Nagamura took over, there was a transition in how the team was how the team played on the field. Basically, there were fewer and fewer experienced USL players coming in. Most of the players that would come in were maybe 24, 25 at the oldest, and any other experienced talent was coming in from SKC on loan. This past season, I think their oldest player, if I remember right, was Roger Smith, who was 25, basically. Everybody else for the most part, I think they had times, I'd have to go back and look specifically, but they're average starting age of the lineup at times this past season, I think, couldn't actually drink alcohol in the U.S. So he dealt with a lot of youthful lineups within the league.
Mm. Well, that's nice to hear. So I was just trying to ask those questions to put it into perspective for both me and, you know, our listeners. I guess what we can come to a conclusion is that Paulo very much hasn't had, at least in terms of coaching, the what would most people would deem like the necessary professional experience. So I think most people could agree it's quite a shot in the dark type of signing, but I guess at least for me, the comforting signal is, you know, he comes from the, like you said, the Vermes school of thought. At least, you know, we know Peter's very stuck in his ways, but I mean, when you're making the playoffs year in, year out, you have a couple, you have an MLS Cup to show for it and several final appearances that, you know, we'd love to have that consistently in Houston.
Yeah, I think I said, I'm intrigued to see what Nagamura can do. I was surprised, I guess, because he had been linked with he had actually interviewed with the Chicago job before Ezra Hendrickson got that. And I was a little taken aback that he would make the jump immediately to MLS. I thought when it was announced he wasn't coming back, I personally thought he was going to get a job with like an independent USL championship team, spend another couple seasons there, and then maybe make the jump to MLS. Not that I don't think he can make the jump, I just wasn't sure that he was ready to make the jump to be the be-all end-all in terms of on-field at that point.
Yeah, obviously, like it's a pretty great information to take in right now, especially considering the situation with the Dynamo. When the news broke out yesterday, almost from like the fan perspective, like it's been received like pretty negatively, only because of the other names that were floating around, including like Jaime Lozano and eventually Victor Manuel Vucetich, which is like a coach that has been coaching in Mexican soccer for about 30 years and has found significant success. And when comparing like those like big names against like Paulo Nagamura, also considering the current situation with Dynamo, they have to start building a project at some point. But like obviously, it's been like 8 years of missing the playoffs from the last seven seasons out of the last 8 years. Like it's been one that they tried to do things differently, but it hasn't worked out at all. And like this past season, it's been like technically our worst in the entire franchise's history. And obviously, like a lot of fans are not going to be happy about that. And they're going to come in and nitpick about the incoming coach, especially one that is coming fresh out of a USL championship, now 4 years as a head coach, and with obviously bad numbers. But at the same time, we have to consider the fact that the vetting process to get a new coach took about like 2 months to do, and reportedly Pat Onstad was like pretty much blown away by what Paulo Nagamura has to offer. And even though like it's pretty relieving, it's still a lot of fans are pretty sketchy about that, because like we've been in this boat for like 8 years now, and nothing has would have like building blocks out of anything, and we have to start from scratch with a new owner and a new GM and a new technical director, which is about to come, and yeah, it's obviously been pretty negative towards the fans, and yeah, and one of the reasons why we brought Mike into the show was just to give us a new perspective as to what he can potentially offer for the team and what we could see on the field this upcoming season. And it's just important to consider that. And obviously, like, even though the stats don't show that, especially his time during USL Championship, it's still worth considering that we still have to build that academy pipeline to the first team, which is what I'm assuming what's going to happen. It's going to be a long-term project by which Nagamura is going to try bringing his new players, and if Ted Segal is a man of his word, is going to bring in a substantial investment to the first team, and not just only that, but around the organization.
To an extent, Andres, like, I know fans have the right to be angry about this signing, but, you know, I don't know if you had kept up with if you had seen any news about this at all, Mike. Essentially, Houston had been linked to Luchi Gonzalez, who went to the U.S. national team, to Nico Estevez, the assistant manager of the U.S. national team, who went to FC Dallas. They were linked to Pablo Mascheroni, who signed with RSL. They were linked with Pat Noonan, who went to FCC. Literally, everybody that we were chasing went to another team. And as I know fans, we understand we're not the most attractive job opening in the market right now. So, and couple that with that we're probably the team that started the latest in the coaching search in terms of when we actually fired Tab and all that went down, and with the new GM coming in. So, pretty much from what I've taken from your information is that, Paulo's a very green coach, but he's very eager to get to work, and obviously the passion won't be remiss. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Felipe Martins. I guess the little Brazilian center midfielders just putting in two-footers and not caring about anything else.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. He's one of the most passionate players I've seen on the field for KC. So if there's one thing that I think Dynamo fans can get behind, it'll be just the passion that he'll bring to the job, to the position, and I would expect to see that passion come out when he's coaching. And even at, like, you see the coaches who get super excited with goals, with big wins, with just that passion that they have for the team and everything. And I think you'll have that with Paulo. Just the type of person he is, the type of player he is, the type of coach I've seen with him with SKC2, he's going to be very passionate, very driven, and it may take him a little bit of time, and I would assume that based off Onstad's track record that Paulo will get a little bit of time to make sure that he's able to get his feet under him. I wouldn't expect a quick fire firing if things don't go well out the bat, but he's a very, very driven player, very driven coach. So there are certainly lots of questions, but at the same time, it's a very intriguing idea to me to have him immediately jump into an MLS job.
I think it's definitely intriguing for most MLS fans out there, but pretty much, I guess what I'm kind of coming up with in my mind right now is that I don't want to judge Paulo for his SKC2 numbers. I know some Dynamo fans will say I'm crazy. Some people are angry, pissed off, et cetera, et cetera. But the truth is, if you want to criticize the signing, criticize it. It's maybe a shot in the dark. Somebody that doesn't have much experience to lead us where we need to be. But from what Pat has said in all his interviews since he started as GM, is that it seems like he's really going to have his hand in everything. He's going to be, a pretty overarching GM. Not in a bad way, because, we very much need his guidance. And then, as has been reported, if we're about to sign a technical director as well, Asher Mendelson from the MLS offices, who used to be with the crew as well. So I think Paolo is going to have a lot of help, a lot of people around him. Obviously, he's going to be able to bring in his own guys, but I think Pat, you know, kind of has an overarching plan that we haven't seen at the Dynamo before, in terms of having a GM that's very assertive, which, you know, if that somebody's going to be making decisions, then I'm happy if it's Pat for the time being, you know. But any other questions you have for Mike Andres before we let him go?
It was just not really, but yeah, it was just to mention that and to like try to like open up like other possibilities with what Paolo Nakamura can offer. And obviously, like, just bringing in Paolo Nakamura was going to be a tough sell from the get-go, but honestly, like, just trying learning all this information like over time and like the past couple days, it's been promising. And obviously, you mentioned that he's gonna have a lot of people behind his back to support him, and which can be a pretty relieving for him, and also relieving for like the fans, and which is something we hope for, but eventually it's gonna come down to results on the field. So, but yeah, we just hope for the best, and we'll see what happens this upcoming season and how the building blocks are set up just for the future.
Yeah, no, I think as long as you set him up with Onstad, and you have experience in the front office, and I won't be surprised if he brings in an experienced MLS assistant to help out as well. And I think if you get that and then give him some time to work in the academy players, work in his system, whatever his actual system, whether he's going to take Fermi's 4-3-3 and adapt it his own way or go a completely different direction. I think as long as you have the base underneath him, I absolutely think he can be a full-time successful coach.
And well, yeah,
let's hope that's the case for Dynamo fans' sake, and hopefully we can finally give SKC a run for their money for the first time in a few years. So that would be fun.
I mean, I'd love for the things to get back to really just beating the crap out of each other in the regular season and the playoffs. I mean, we talked about it. I like the fact that I hate you guys. I like having a team that I feel like that about, because I mean, as a KC fan for so long, like, we jumped from the West to the East, back to the West, and we just never could really get a rivalry going, basically. So the fact that we have a real on-field bitter dislike for the Dynamo is it's exciting when we actually get to play you guys, and you guys are good and we're good, and it's a really hard-hitting game, basically.
Yeah, and I definitely miss those rivalries, you know, like, obviously we have FC Dallas every year, and now Austin FC coming in. We just still have to, and it still needs time to develop, obviously. But Sporting KC is a special one. It's one of them that like a lot of Dynamo fans that have it on their minds like every season, just to look forward to. And yeah, like, it's unfortunate that the Dynamo don't bring in like a consistent performance like day in and out to make it a fun derby, you know, like you mentioned. But yeah, like, it, I love the derby, honestly.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and taking some time to talk with us today, Mike. And I don't know if we mentioned this earlier, if you know, if any Dynamo fans are really at the actual cutting point and you guys want to switch over to SKC, then you can go read some stuff from Mike and Blue Testament over on his Twitter. I don't know if you want to plug that, or you can send it to us later, Mike, and we'll definitely send that out in a tweet as well.
Sure. Twitter is down the byline, basically the blog I did before I moved over to SB Nation. But yeah, it's a pleasure, guys. I love talking soccer. I love just in general enjoy the game. So I appreciate the conversation. It's always fun to talk with new fellow soccer fans. So It's been fun, guys.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, we'll definitely bring you out for the next derby this season, hopefully.
Looking forward to it, guys.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. And yeah, and obviously we're going to try end this episode in a interesting note, obviously with the rumors coming in with the Dynamo, especially a couple players that seem out of the ordinary, like in Dynamo standards. And obviously, a defender, Yusuf, I'm going to buy his jersey if he comes to Dynamo. Yusuf and Ayishimiye from Basaksehir in Turkey. And obviously, Jonathan Rodriguez from Cruz Azul, which now seems like a player that he may not come to Houston or MLS, but rather he's going to go to Saudi Arabia. I just wanted to talk a little bit more about that, Tony.
Before we move on to rumors that probably won't happen from a fake Turkish journalist, just kidding. This one seems a little bit more legit, but let's let this Nagamura stuff settle, and let's really vent about how everybody feels, about how we feel. It was good to have Mike on here, get a perspective from an SKC fan. I mean, I said it several times in that short bit of time that we just spoke with him, but I mean, it just really feels like a shot in the dark signing. And I've said it several times, I'm just withholding judgment until, we see some press conferences from this guy. Obviously, until we see things happen on the field. I like what you were saying a lot, but it's a project that Pat's building. People are desperate. Fans are, for lack of a better word, hurt, salty just to get things going. But I think I just have to reiterate, nobody from the FO is paying me or,
Yeah.
If I wanted to say bad things about them, I would right now. But I think we really just need to give them patience. And it's so early. I know other teams are making moves, but January is going to be a huge month for the Dynamo. I still trust in Ted that he's going to put in a little bit more financial backing behind the team. And, honestly, we might not see a lot of that coming until the summer. Once, Paulo maybe settles in a little bit more. I know from a fact from a couple of sources we've been speaking to that, Dynamo are active and looking for new players abroad in this market. And I know for a fact that we're going to be bringing in a couple other pieces within MLS as well. So it's definitely a shot in the dark signing. Nobody was – if you expected Paulo Nagamura to sign for the Dynamo, go buy the next lottery ticket and sell it to us right now, please. Cause
yeah, you just live in Vegas, honestly.
No, but I guess just to summarize my thoughts, I cannot make a judgment right now. It's my thought. I saw longtime Dynamo fan Dwayne. I don't know what his Twitter handle is. Dwayne, if you're listening to this, shout out to you. I saw him kind of judging, why the hell are people, burning the world down when we literally don't know anything about Paulo. I mean, his record is bad. And, we saw a couple of tweets about some, SKC fans, quote unquote, saying he's trash. But I really cannot take anything from that tenure he had with them as a USL championship coach, because I am 100% sure Peter Vermes is probably, dictator on that. We all know how he is, and I'm sure everything had to go to how Peter's liking was that day. But it's just a signing that no one expected. But Pat mentioned it in his interviews with Glenn Davis that they wanted a young coach that they can really mold. And I mean, for lack of a better word, Pat wants to have he's going to have a lot of the decision making power. Obviously, they're going to let the coaches do what they do in training sessions, but they're definitely going to help Paulo mold into, what hopefully can be short-term results to make fans happy, but also, build this next new chapter and big project of Ted Segal and Pat Allstedt for the Dynamo.
And yeah, I was hoping to expand a little bit more about Paulo Nagamura whenever he's officially announced and we get a proper press conference to see the decision behind hiring him and what made them, what got them what exceeded their expectations towards Paulo Nagamura, him being potential head coach. It was pretty unexpected, honestly. It wasn't one of those names that I wasn't even considering, especially with all the available coaches out there. Even though there's not many out there with MLS experience, pretty much in the market in general.
Not to interrupt you, sorry, but what I will say about something you mentioned earlier, we saw Lester mention the tidbit about Vucetich from Mexico, you know, obviously a historic winning coach. But from what I talked to a few people that, you know, have some better sources than we do, he did express interest in the job, or the Dynamo reached out to him, but he was never in the actual coaching process long term, at least from what my sources told me. He was not a serious option that was taken into account, whether that was just Pat completely looking at younger coaches. Something that was talked about also in Glenn Davis' interviews before was that, you know, some more of those established coaches in South America and in Mexico, you know, maybe have some old school practices. They want to bring in their complete coaching staff, their complete academy staff. You know, you know how it is with them. Like, they want to bring in everybody and they want to do things their way, which, you know, that's a way to do things in club football too. That's fine, but that's not what the Dynamo are looking to do. And, you know, I don't want to go off on conspiracy theories that you see on Reddit, but, you know, Vucetich may never have even been involved in this coaching conversations per se. And maybe that's just a piece of information that's leaked to say, you know, wow, Nagamura was better than Vucetich. Let's get behind him. You know, that's just food for thought. You know, I'm not going Q on MLS and on you guys, but.
Oh yeah, like it's interesting. It's risky, but at the end of the day, like it definitely shows what Onset is trying to do and what he has like said in the past, which is like he wants to like build a program. Obviously, he just came in, like he doesn't even have a year with us, and like he just wants to, he wants to have like a lot of support in the club, like also with the technical director coming in. And obviously a new head coach coming in, like even though this isn't as experienced, but at the same time he wants to keep a young coach to like establish a work ethic, like a specific style of play as well. And yeah, it's gonna be interesting what's gonna happen from here. Obviously Nagamura's not a name that a lot of fans coveted, and it's gonna come down to results, and it's gonna come down to all the players produced and how we got like and pretty much like trying to like turn this the Dynamo around, like, you know, for the last 8 years. Like, I can definitely, like I said before, I definitely understand fans being skeptical about bringing in Nagamura, a person that, like, even though he has like a ton of experience in MLS and also has like an understanding of how the league works. Obviously he doesn't bring in like good numbers from SKC2, but at the same time, like, he's been like involved in a pretty good program with Kansas City, and yeah, we just have to wait and see what happens from here. And I'll expand a little bit further after the announcement is made, just to see the thought process behind the coaching search has been, and a lot of juicy information that we need to know, honestly.
Yeah, no, I think. I mean, I don't know who I'm speaking on behalf of, but I think we all just need to, you know, take a deep breath. I know we're desperate. I'm desperate. You know, I want
me too. Yeah.
I want immediate success, but I think we only just take a step back and, you know, just wait for things to happen. And, you know,
I'd rather
things to come out.
I'd rather win a road game than sign Messi, honestly, at this point. That's what I want.
I mean, considering signing Messi would take us into bankruptcy, then I agree. But yeah. I think we'll see what happens when the press conference goes on. Obviously they're all going to say good things, a lot of cookie cutter things, but it seems like Seagal and Ongstad are very open when it comes to these kinds of conversations. So, you know, we'll see what they say when they finally get Paolo on Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. And, you know, just a, you know, tidbit, sometimes those random coaches are the ones that just need their shot, somebody to give them their first chance, and it runs with it. And why not this be the first time this happens with the freaking Dynamo? Because we have had no luck in anything, and we could use it right now. So let's all hope for that, at least.
Yeah, if this is our underdog story, then I'm in for it. But obviously, it has to end in a good way.
This is all part of the multiverse, so.
Yeah. Doctor Strange saw it coming.
That's enough of Nagamura for now. We'll have a Twitter Spaces one day to to after you guys calm down, you know, to vent a little bit to see what everybody's thoughts are once his press conference happens. But just some other tidbits that have been moving on. We've obviously signed Daniel Suárez from the LA Galaxy center back, which right now is looking like he'll be a third or fourth string center back. He's 31 years old and, you know, pretty good MLS experience. He's definitely a better third choice center back than, you know, no offense, Minor Figueroa or Alejandro Fuenmayor, who the Dynamo have finally let go of. And we also signed Steve Clark, 35-year-old goalkeeper from Portland Timbers.
And just as a free agent,
As a free agent, yeah. Just as I was thinking, Andres, like, there really has been not much Dynamo movement at all then, other than, you know, cutting the players who we didn't want to re-sign. And these two guys that I just mentioned, obviously re-signing Darwin Quintero to a much lower contract, according to Glenn Davis. But I think that's why we have so much to look forward to in January. As far as the new signings come in, I would say Steve Clark is a upgrade over Marco Marich, who was our starting goalkeeper. And, you know, I wouldn't have been mad if Michael Nelson was the starting goalkeeper next year. But, you know, decisions have to be made in this game. And bringing in a very experienced goalkeeper like Clark, who has made it several finals, you know, been there, done that, and who has a personality in the locker room. And I think that's a move that makes this team better. And now we just need about five or six more signings like that that make the team better in the first team squad.
And yeah, like Steve Clark, definitely an upgrade. Like, even though I've seen like a handful of his games this past season, he wasn't very good in some occasions, just letting a few goals in. But at the same time, he's had those great games, and he brings like so much experience in MLS. Like, even though he's pretty old, and I feel like he can also serve very well when it comes to like transitioning to Michael Nelson. Like, even though like he's coming to that age where he has to establish his starting spot now. So I definitely see like Michael Nelson being the starter eventually, but right now we needed that experience in goal, because like it's we took like a big gamble with Marich, and like sometimes it worked, but like for the most part it didn't, and we needed that.
Yeah, I mean, about the Clark thing, maybe I think what most people think about him is kind of skewed, because the most times people remember Clark is from his mistake in MLS Cup for Columbus, and then his mistake for, I wouldn't say it was a mistake, versus New York City FC this year in the final. I mean, it was just a ball that got away from him that he maybe could have saved, but statistically, he was in the top five best goalkeepers in MLS this season. And I think he's just, one of those like absolutely rabid, crazy goalkeepers that we haven't seen in Houston maybe ever. I don't know if we've ever had just Tyler Derrick, I guess, is the closest that we've had to just, batshit crazy goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. And on Michael Nelson, in my opinion, if he doesn't beat Steve Clark out for a position this year, I don't think he's ever going to start for the Dynamo. Because he's already 25, 26, which is, or even 27, I don't know how old he is, in his mid-20s. That's young for a goalkeeper, but if the Dynamo really trusted him, he would have the starting job right now. And, wish him the best. I like what I saw from him last year, but I think it's kind of getting do or die there for him, and I wouldn't be surprised if, we saw him at another MLS club in the next coming years. But that's another story. I'm happy to have him as our second string, and possibly fight Clark for that first string eventually as well. But that's the moves that we've made so far this offseason. What are some of the rumors that you got from your inside sources, Andres?
Oh yeah, like definitely Turkey is a great country with lots of journalists, especially those that are reached to your DMs whenever a Turkish club is trying to acquire a player, in our case, whenever that happened to Albert Feliz, at some point he was connected to like some Turkish clubs, and whenever that happened, you get to see like 5 to 10 Turkish fans like go to your DMs and ask about Feliz, And yeah, just a lot of things. Turkey is a very special soccer country that is interesting. And from there, apparently we're interested in this defender named Yusuf Enayishimiye from Başakşehir in Turkey.
Let me try it, please. Yusuf Enayishimiye. I gotta break it down. Yusuf Enayishimiye.
Enayishimiye.
We'll go with that one. He's a Burundian. He's from Burundi Africa. A Burundian international, like Andres plays for Istanbul Başakşehir. I don't know if I said that correctly either. But if you guys remember, in Istanbul Başakşehir, they were in the Champions League last year. I'm not completely sure if they're in the Europa League this year. I need to double check that one. But they kind of took a huge rise in fame. I guess they have made some huge money investments over the past couple of years, and at least seemingly I had never heard of them before compared to, you know, Galatasaray, Fenerbahce, Besiktas, and all those big powerhouses. But, I mean, it's pretty impressive that we're linked to a player from a club of that stature, at least right now in Europe.
And I guess, like, the rumor itself holds some water because apparently him and Tine Chadebe share the same agent, and they also used to play in the same team together at one point. But the only, I'd say like the only negative is the price, because apparently like he's going for the range of 6 to 8 million euros, which is about like $10 million. And obviously, like, even though like he's 23 years old and shows a lot of promise, like if he would come in at that price, like around that price range of $9 to $10 million, he would break the transfer record for the Dynamo. And
yeah.
As a defender, it looks pretty. Yeah, it depends. Like, if Daddy Teddy is gonna open the wallet, we don't know. But obviously, I don't see it happening. Like, unless it actually happens, you know. Like, we still have to Daddy Ted open the wallet, you know.
First of all, never say that again. Second of all, I hope we don't spend $10 million on a defender. Even if Ted is opening up the wallets. I think that's maybe a little bit of a misbudgeting of monies, but I don't really know who the reporters are, but it's a lot more of a credible rumor than past Turkish rumors that we've seen. It comes from a much more well-respected journalist in Turkey, as well as a few more accredited websites. He's also linked with Royal Antwerp and Anderlecht from the Belgian Pro League. Pretty big clubs that, you know, that most of us have heard of before. So I'd say, you know, we're just putting it out there for you guys, but let's not get too excited about that one, especially because of the fee. Like Andres said, they are, he is also with the same agent as Tine Chadebe. So this could be just a case of the agent linking the player with the Dynamo just to boost up the price. So
yeah, that and also the fact that they will have to like change formations in Houston only to like fit him, either run with a three line of three center backs or five at least. It's kind of weird. It's a weird rumor. So we just have to wait and see if that's true or not. And also, yeah, the high price. I don't think it's happening unless they take a discount.
I mean, price aside, he seems like an amazing player that would probably be better than Tine Chadebe, considering he's playing at that big of a club, and he has played most of the games for them this year at center back. So, I mean, side note, we saw a couple scouts on Twitter talking about how they offered this player, or at least informed the Dynamo of this player about 2 or 3 years ago when he was playing in the Burundian. In the Burundian league, I don't know, even know what to call it. I'm sorry that I'm not too familiar with what Burundi's professional leagues are, but apparently they identified him and put him in the Dynamo's eyesight, at least is what they're saying, a couple years ago for what would have been $100,000, and now is going for reportedly over 5 million euros. So that's an interesting tidbit, but you know, I won't take too much stock on that either. Considering there's a whole other set of people in power at that point. But any other players that we've been linked to, Andres, other than
Jonathan Rodriguez, our man from Cruz Azul?
I mean, No, Dynamo were never actually mentioned in this. So essentially,
yeah, obviously, like the Jonathan one, it's very it could be it's not as, I would say, as credible as the one for Yusuf, but yeah, it's an interesting one.
I mean, I don't remember the last time we had a podcast, to be honest. It's not bad. It's been off season, but I don't remember if in the last podcast we mentioned that we were linked to Roberto Alvarado from Cruz Azul, the center attacking midfielder slash winger from the Mexican national team of Cruz Azul, who just recently transferred to Chivas like this week. So obviously that rumor is off the table. And then we know Pat was in Mexico early in the offseason scouting, maybe talking to potential signings. And then this past week or so, it came out that Jonathan Rodriguez, or Cabecita, as he's known by in nickname, the Uruguayan international forward, was apparently really wanting to move to MLS. And several Mexican journalists were saying that the team that he was linked to was one of the only teams that still didn't have a coach but had a very promising project. So that could, at that point, it was only us or LAFC that didn't have a coach. And LAFC already has a star striker in Chicho Arango. So, I mean, you know, by doing some quick maths in your head right there, you could determine maybe it was a Dynamo that were interested. But apparently that's also off the table now, since he's apparently close to signing with, I believe, a Saudi Arabian team. So more sadness. But, you know, guys, just don't get these big transfers up in your head until we actually have some concrete sources reporting it, because you're just going to get hurt every time.
Yeah, now I'm just going to wait for Glenn Davis or like Dynamo Insider, because like it's been an interesting offseason of just rumors and no signings yet. There have been some signings, but I like to say like big signings, the signings that we actually need to get somewhere, you know, and yeah, I'm just going to wait for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually really curious to see if we trade any more of our own players in MLS this season, or if we bring in any other, you know, if we make player for player trades, etc. You know, I think to really build a solid core, we need a couple of MLS guys, like, you know, just throwing a name out there, like a Kyrie Shelton from SKC. You know, some of those guys that, you know, aren't the sexiest names per se, but, you know, actually get the job done in MLS and know how the league plays. And I just don't think we have enough of those quality guys in the team, like Fafa, for example, who, you know, came and brought, you know, instant success to the Dynamo. So I'm excited for it to see if we sign any of those types of names coming into the next month.
But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one also, because we have like so many holes up top, like, because we need, obviously we need a depth for the forwards, but we also need a starting striker, and I would say like a winger as well. And which is one of those things that we need, like a game changer or an actual designated player is what we need here. And we have two open DP slots, so obviously I don't think we're gonna fill all two this off season, but at least one is what I like to say. So yeah, I just hope like we get that game changer eventually.
Yeah, no, like I said, I think I'm gonna be patient. I mean, I can tell you guys that you should be patient, but you know, you guys aren't gonna listen to me. I think we'll get a DP at least in January. I don't think Ted's capping, as the young folks say nowadays. I don't think he's lying about his future investments. But we just hired supposedly just hired Paolo. It hasn't even been announced. Paolo Nagamura. We didn't even leave the episode of that. We obviously we talked about Paolo for freaking 30 minutes now. Yeah, we supposedly hired Paolo Nagamura, the former SKC 2 and former SKC and various MLS midfielder. He might be the youngest coach in MLS if he signs this, which he's only 38. I'm not sure who else is around that age in MLS. But I think it's just going to take some time. I think we'll definitely get signings, but I'm just going to be patient. I'm just going to ride the wave, because at this point, you know, my mental health cannot take this, cannot take the anguish.
Yeah. And yeah, it's been a pretty slow off season to start. Like, even though we got the players that had to leave the team, over with, like, we still have to get those players. And I guess we just have to wait. Because it's like now less than 60 days until the season starts, and we still have like a lot of big questions that need to be answered. And yeah, we just have to wait and see.
In January we got the Super Draft coming up, which I don't even know if they have the date, but the Dynamo will have the fourth pick in that draft. Last year we had a third pick with Ethan Bartlow. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, the Super Draft means less and less every year, but you know, we have had very bad luck in it, and there is players every single year that do come out and contribute significantly to their first teams, even though maybe it is becoming less and less prevalent. I'm interested to see whether we keep a pick, if we pick them, and whether they'll contribute or if we'll trade them away for a better target. So that'll be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, we still need that hidden gem, and I just hope we can see Bartlow more often next season, because it's been unfortunate.
Yes, sir. We'll be Houston Dynamo 2, number one Ultras.
Dynamo 2 Ultras, Dynamo 2. You know how it goes. But yeah, yes, I'm gonna watch every Dynamo 2 game. It's gonna be awesome.
If they're even streamed, but we'll see.
They have to be. If not, I'll be upset. But yeah.
Well, guys, anything else on the list to cover? We probably missed. I guess the last thing, you know, we're just taking content from Glenn Davis here, but he's got all the scoops. People were saying that Glenn Davis mentioned last night that the Dynamo, obviously we announced the re-signing of Matias Vera, but apparently now he's on around $700,000 a year contract. So, you know, good for Mati getting the bag, but that is a pretty hefty increase. And, you know, I'm not doubting Mati at all. I know he's an absolute star, but I hope we surround him with more talent so he can show his skills in the correct positions he needs to be in.
And yeah, I said it before, like Matias Vera is, I'd say, it's probably the hardest working player on the team. And like, even though he's pretty quiet on the field, like he has a pretty incredible work ethic. And I feel like he earned that pay. And like, even though it's not obviously seen on the field, like he shows it. And I do definitely appreciate like Vera for sticking with us, and he deserves it.
Yes, sir. Well, we'll catch you guys next on Twitter Spaces, maybe to talk after the coach presentation. If not, the next time there's some big news to cover, we'll be here with the next episode of Noodle Time, guys.
Yeah, we're hoping to do like a New Year's Eve or day special. But it pretty much it depends on whenever Paul Nagamura is announced, so we have like more. We have like more to talk about, and obviously whatever happens, like, it's still depending on that. So hopefully we'll have the Twitter Spaces going by somewhere around like the New Year's, like the first week of January, hopefully. So we just have to wait on the news to come out.
All right, man. Well, you take it easy, Andres. Let's all get behind Pablo and stay noodle.
Yeah, guys. Let's get behind Paul Nagamura. He needs all the help he can get, especially from us after a very rough period of our history. And thank you guys for sticking with us for 2021. It's been a fun but depressing year. fun for Noodle Time, depressing for Dynamo and Dash fans. And yeah, guys, stay noodle.